I'd like to grab a seat now and just, they're very powerful words, those, aren't they? I have a sense of those words. We don't know that song very well, but there's words in there that are speaking to people here this morning, I'm sure. I just want to leave this just a quiet time where we'll just have silence. We just, if you believe words in that song have been speaking to you, our prayer is that God will heal, God will deliver, and God will bless you. So let's just, before we have our readings, we'll just have just a quiet time. So we speak Jesus into the places in our minds and our heart. We speak Jesus into our depression. We speak Jesus to bless our families. We speak Jesus into this community. And we thank you, Jesus. We thank you for being in our lives. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So, Penny.
That's Marie, hey? I'm Penny, for those that don't know me. Our first reading this morning is from the book of James, chapter 1, verses 17 to 27. Wow, these words just really echo, given what we've just been singing. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be the kind of first fruits of all he created. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and immediately after looking at himself goes away and forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after the orphans and the widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Whakarongo ki te kupu a te wairua ki te hahi. Thanks be to God. Mai tonu tāna kupu ki a tātou. Our gospel reading is from the book of Mark, chapter 7, verses 1 to 8, and then skipping to verse 14. Saying glory to God. Ke kororia ki te atua. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash, and they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups and pitchers and kettles. So the Pharisees and the teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with defiled hands?" Jesus replied, "Isaiah was right about you when he prophesied about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules.' You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions." Again, Jesus called the crowd to him, and he said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them." This is the Gospel of Christ. Te rongopai tene a te karaiti. Let's grace the word. Whakamomititi e ia te kupu mana. Sorry, I lost some words in my text.
Thank you. Thanks, Penny. All right. Ah, thanks.
Whoops.
No, I've dropped everything. Thank you. Well, kia ora, everybody. Good to see you. Good to be here again this morning. And you're really warmly welcome if you're visiting or anything. It's really good to see you. And I know there's a few people here for Father's Day, including a couple of my own, which is really nice. I think everyone's got a different tradition on Father's Day, right? What's some of the things that happen in your household? I heard about Jenny and Ian. What do you do?
Bacon and egg on a tray.
Fantastic.
Can I go around to Jenny's place?
Can you do what? Oh, yeah. Why did you not? What did you get? Oh, no, I won't ask. Yeah. I had a little tray as well, and with handmade pottery. Anyone beat that? No, sorry. And some flowers and some beers. It was fantastic. and a pan au chocolat. Yeah, it's great. Anyway, we all have different traditions, don't we? And we have different traditions at Christmas. Is anyone here allowed to unwrap a present before you go to church on Sunday? Oh, sorry, on Christmas Day. Yeah? Can anyone just unwrap as many as they want?
No,
that's definitely not. There's all sorts of different things. And I think we found when me and Katie got married, I was horrified on Christmas Day. Like, you know, because in our family, we all kind of take it in turns to open a present, you know, and everyone looks at the present and admires it. And then the next person unwraps a present, you know, kind of, you know. And Katie just went, whoom, rah, rah, rah. And her family just do that. They just dive on and unwrap everything. And it's just a joyous kind of mayhem. And then everyone looks at what they've got. And, you know, and it can feel so wrong when someone does the, you know, doesn't respect, you know, we don't do that, you know. And I think that's a little bit what's going on here. In when Jesus is asked a question, he's asked a question about purity, actually. You know, your disciples are eating with unwashed hands. You know, that's going to defile them. It's going to make them unclean. So how do we be pure, and why aren't they washing their hands? And Jesus says, well, that's a tradition that you've received from your elders, actually. And he calls it a tradition of men. He doesn't say that traditions are bad, but just that these traditions are like, what's going on? He basically answers the question about purity by talking about tradition, which is weird, and then by talking about the heart. It's a two-part answer. So, you know, how do you keep a clean heart or whatever? You know, how do you be pure? Well, let me address tradition first. Why? And then secondly, let me address the heart. So tradition, he's saying, because in the Bible, the word tradition, just need to rewind. It's so hard to hear for us, you and me, most of us, to hear the word tradition without having a load of layers of historical meaning on it. Particularly, obviously, the old 16th century Catholic Protestant debate about scripture or tradition, you know, as if it's one or the other, and we follow this one, and we follow this one, you know. It's really hard because that argument was not going on in Jesus' day. There was a different kind of understanding going on in his day, but it's related, but it's not. We'll read it with that if we're not careful. The other thing we can do is, well, I'll come to the other thing in a minute. But this idea of, you know, how can tradition be good or bad or indifferent? You know, what's it got to do with purity? I think he's saying here, because if you look at the, well, first of all, what does the word tradition mean? What does tradition mean? Handed on, yeah, not quite handed down, you know, but more or less, yeah, handed on. So something that's handed on, where, you know, like my mum and dad did Christmas like that, and it got handed on to me, and then I get, what do? We sort of do, we do a mixture. We've kind of, now our family has mixed Katie's tradition and my tradition, and we, rather than everyone one at a time, we kind of do a one at a time thing, but we also open a bunch of things every now and then. It's not strict, I don't know, anyway. You work out your own traditions, like, you know, in a family, but it's something that was handed on to you, isn't it? It's something handed on to us by someone before, which was handed on to them by someone before, and it sort of been handed on. These particular traditions that Jesus is talking about were about 200 years old at the time. They'd been sort of being worked out for a couple of hundred years. And they were traditions about what it meant to be us, Jewish people. You know, us people that got brought out of Egypt and are in this land. And what it particularly means to be us when we're surrounded by foreign powers and have been invaded and being ruled by, you know, Romans and this whole, you know, there's troops everywhere and they're not ours. And, you know, this kind of thing. It's what does it mean to define ourselves? And so they had these strict purity laws that helped define themselves. There's all sorts of stuff, and it's the word tradition that Jesus uses there is also used in other parts of the New Testament to be something really positive. So Paul uses it, and he says, I traditioned to you, and that's the word he uses, same word as Jesus is using, what I received, that on the night he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread and, you know, gave thanks. And so I'm traditioning this to you, which I received. And he says, I received it from the Lord. And then he also says, I'm traditioning to you the gospel. In 1 Corinthians, he says, you know, the good news of Jesus, the fact that he came and lived amongst us, that he died and rose again for our sins and to set us free. And then he was seen by, you know, all these people in his resurrection. He uses that word tradition. It's David's phone call he always receives in the middle of church. Was it a goal this time, David? No goal? Canada, yeah. thank you. So, tradition. Yeah, so there are good traditions, and then there are traditions that are questionable. But the weird thing is, Jesus, in some ways it's weird, is connecting it to purity. What on earth has it got to do with purity? And he's saying these things, this hand washing, it's not dealing with the problem of purity. It's not a good tradition. And it kind of makes me think, well, what things are we being passed on, what's being handed on to us, what are we receiving and passing on to others that's good, that's from the Lord or is godly? And what are we receiving and passing on that's not making any difference to the heart? Because then he comes on to the second point about purity. He says, he questions what sort of traditions they're following. And then he says, it's about the heart. He says, it's too easy for us, especially today, again, you know, we're careful how much we read back, but to look at internal and external, you know, the heart and the feelings and what's, you know, and then what we do as if they're disconnected, you know, or our bodies, you know, that whole idea of kind of physical stuff is just, you know, empty bodies, you know, and one day we'll just float off and, you know, that kind of spirit is good, matter is bad idea. You know, it doesn't matter what you do, your traditions, what you're washing hands, doesn't matter because it's all external. But the internal thing is what's important, the heart. But Jesus isn't saying that. He's saying these two things, the internal and the external, are related. Because he says, because it's out of the heart that come what? Yeah. Yeah, all the issues of life, you know, so our actions, you know, when we do this, you know, when I get crabby, when I get angry with someone, when I just unleash that on somebody, or when I'm impatient, which obviously I never am, you know, but when I'm impatient and I just, you know, and I dig at someone, which I do, you know, that's coming from my heart, my external actions, how I live in my body, what I do and say to other people in their bodies and in this world. Those actions come from my heart. Jesus is saying the two are really connected. The internal and the external are really connected. So he's saying, well, I mean, one question we can ask from this is, well, what are we receiving? The things we do that actually do help our hearts? And what is just making no difference to our hearts? Because those sorts of things are not helpful. And he's saying this idea of washing hands, which you've, you know, come up with in recent times, because it was only about a couple of hundred years old in Jesus' day, and it got codified, got written down a couple of hundred years after Jesus' day, so you can read it now, all those laws. He says, I'm questioning that because it's not dealing with the problem. But there are things that we receive. Paul says, I receive this from the gospel, the good news of Jesus, the idea of bread and wine. I receive that and I pass it on to you, he says. And it's really interesting. And these things do change the human heart. And it's really interesting that he also says in, there's a couple of places, but in 2 Thessalonians, he talks again about tradition, Paul, and he says, blah, 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 that's Greek, blah, 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 delivered from her, and then blah, 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 we should always give thanks to the Lord, and, blah, 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 blah. And then he says, so then, after that, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us. Stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth, some things were just said, you know, and some things were written down. And then he goes on in the final chapter in verse 6. He says, now we command you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep aloof from every brother and sister who leads an unruly life and not according to the tradition which you received from us. I love that because it's like a way of life that is being passed on there. You know, and he's saying, you know, I command you in the name of our Lord Jesus, keep aloof from everyone who's following an unruly way of life and not the way of life we have traditioned to you. Not according to the tradition which you received from us. I don't know if that excites you as much as it excites me, but it really excites me because we pass on how we live. And that can be a good thing or a bad thing. But like yesterday, we just celebrated Val's life, didn't we? And, you know, like Wes said, the church was just jammed with people. There were people that came from, I don't know where, like, I can't remember where he said, but there's some guy that flew from way over the other, another part of the world. There were people that came down from the Coromandel. There were people that came from all over because this guy had touched their lives. And it was really, sure, it was things that he said. But it was, again and again, the stories were actually about how he lived, who he was. He was a very generous person. He was very, didn't make anything of himself. You know, I mean, you know him. Most of us know him. And I told that story about Roger. I don't know if Roger's here this morning. Just, I think it was last year, I was sitting with Roger, it was a year and a half ago or whenever, when he was going through his whole cancer thing, and and his kidneys were having problems and all this sort of thing. It was really, really hard. Went round to his place, to his farm up the road, and we were sitting there having a bit of a chat, and the phone went, and I could hear the voice on the other end of the phone. And I could hear this voice saying, I couldn't tell quite who it was, I think. But, and Roger was like, and this voice was saying, I was just praying this morning and I felt that it was right that to offer you, if you need it, one of my kidneys. And I was just like, absolutely stunned. I'm like, what did I just hear? You know, and Roger, you know, put the phone down after the call, and we just sat there, and as I said yesterday, Roger's a tough man, and you know him, you know, and you know, I thought he might sort me out afterwards for telling the story in his time-honored way, which he doesn't do anymore. But this guy, this tough man, farmer, and me, we just sat there in silence for at least 30 seconds, absolutely stunned that, and it was Val, had rung up, just been praying that morning, and had said, you can have one of my kidneys if you need it. No one knew that story until I blew it yesterday, so that now Val won't get his reward in heaven. I'm sorry about that, Val. No, you will. But that is a way of life, isn't it? And it's those sorts of things that he received from the people that went before him. There's so much that we pass on. A way of life, the gospel, the things we do, like baptism and Eucharist and, you know, all sorts of stuff. These are the things that shape out, hopefully, you know, they begin to work on our hearts so that more and more the good things are coming out of our hearts. Because the internal and the external are completely related. It's out of the heart, Jesus says, that both good and evil come. He says in another place, you know, that good things and bad. In this one, it's just bad stuff, you know, because it's the question of purity. It's out of the heart. So he's, I think a good question to ask is, what are we following? What ways of life, what patterns of behavior are we receiving and passing on? What good news, you know, what of the gospel are we receiving and passing on? And what kind of habits and actions, like Paul says, the Eucharist, you know, I'm receiving this and I'm passing it, I'm traditioning it to you. What traditions are we following that shape our hearts? Because what we do externally affects internally, and what we do externally comes from internally as well. So, you know, does that sound good? Yeah. So let's ponder that for a moment in a prayer. Lord, Lord Jesus, we thank you that you care about our hearts and our bodies and what we do and say and who we are and what we think, how we act and behave. And we know, Jesus, that all these things issue from our hearts, from the heart of who we are, from our innermost being, from the core of who we are. And Lord Jesus, we want to ask that you change our hearts, that you help us to have good habits, good traditions, good ways of life, good actions that we do. That can lead us in your ways and that can continually bring us again and again to your feet. For you are the only one that can change our hearts in the inmost place. I just pray that more and more all that we do and are would bring us again and again to your feet. Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen.